What happens when the world decides who you are before you figured it out yourself? A young girl from Louisiana became one of the most famous people on Earth before she turned 20. Her image plastered across millions of screens, her voice filling arenas worldwide. Yet behind the carefully crafted pop princess persona lived a woman fighting for something most of us take for granted: the right to control her own life. This isn't just another celebrity tell-all. It's a raw testament to survival, revealing how fame can transform from a dream into a prison, and how one woman found the courage to break free. Kentwood, Louisiana offered small-town simplicity, church Sundays, unlocked doors, tight-knit community. But beneath it lay generations of trauma: a grandmother's suicide, a terrorizing grandfather, a father whose darkness manifested through alcohol and rage. Music became her escape from chaos and her brother's crushing athletic expectations. The women provided sanctuary. Great-grandmother Lexi, married 7 times, glamorous with red lipstick, became her closest companion during sleepovers filled with 1950s ballads. Cousin Laura Lynn felt like a twin. These relationships offered unconditional love, contrasting sharply with her father's criticism. After her brother's near-fatal accident at 4, she spent years sleeping beside him, offering comfort he couldn't find elsewhere. This early caretaking role, healing what was broken, sacrificing her needs, became a lifelong pattern. The Mickey Mouse Club was boot camp for future superstars. At 8, she lied about her age during Atlanta auditions, performing Sweet Georgia Brown with gymnastics flips. Orlando became her world: dance rehearsals, vocal training, acting classes, recording sessions, squeezed-in schooling. Justin Timberlake was there too, their first truth or dare kiss foreshadowing years of intertwined destinies. Meeting Jive Records founder Clive Kelder at 15 felt surreal. After singing Whitney Houston for rooms of executives, she was signed. Months in New Jersey studios led to Sweden and producer Max Martin. Baby One More Time was recorded with a deliberately gravelly voice, achieved by staying up late the night before. When presented with a futuristic astronaut concept for the video, she pushed back with her own vision: bored students erupting into dance when the bell rings. January 1999 changed everything. Her album debuted at number 1, making her the first woman to simultaneously top both single and album charts. The Rolling Stone cover sparked controversy. Interviewers asked Justin about his music. They asked her about her body and plastic surgery. After her 2000 VMAs performance, MTV forced her to watch strangers criticize her too sexy outfit, cameras trained on her face. When pressed about corrupting America's youth, she responded, "I'm not the children's parents, I just gotta be me." Forbes named her the most powerful woman on their celebrity list, yet she had no idea tabloids were making fortunes from her photos, turning her image into currency she couldn't control. Reconnecting with Justin after the Mickey Mouse Club felt like destiny. Behind closed doors, reality was messier. She knew he cheated. Photographers pawed him with someone in London. Dancers overheard Vegas hookup stories. She let it go, perhaps believing this was the price of loving someone in their world. Then came the pregnancy. He insisted they were too young. Though heartbroken, she agreed to an at-home abortion, hours screaming on the bathroom floor while he played guitar in the next room. The breakup came via text while she was filming. For months, she barely left her house. Then Justin released Justified, portraying her as unfaithful. The media narrative crystallized. She was the harlot who broke America's golden boy's heart. She grieved in Louisiana while he enjoyed Hollywood, yet she became the villain in a story he wrote. This pattern, men controlling the narrative while she suffered in silence, would repeat throughout her life, each iteration more damaging than the last. Kevin Federline offered what she desperately needed: acceptance. He held her in a pool for hours that first night, providing comfort she'd never experienced. After years of meeting others' expectations, someone finally liked her as she was. Following their marriage, she started saying no, parting with managers and posting a letter announcing she needed time off. Pregnancy transformed her. America's sweetheart became protective and fierce. Sean Preston was born in September 2005. 3 months later, she was pregnant again, but paparazzi became inescapable. When she drove with Sean Preston on her lap to escape photographers, she was labeled unfit. Magazines fixated on her weight and lack of makeup. Kevin changed with fame, coming home late from parties. When he took the boys and wouldn't let her see them for weeks, she imagined her babies wondering why their mother had abandoned them. In February 2007, after being denied access again with paparazzi watching, she snapped and shaved her head, a defiant rejection of a world demanding she be pretty, good, and their dream girl. After a paparazzo harassed her about her kids, she snapped, hitting his car with an umbrella. Her team forced her to perform Gimme More at the VMAs despite exhaustion. Everything collapsed. Costume issues, body shaming, seeing Justin backstage thriving while she crumbled. In January 2008, when security came for the boys, she locked herself in the bathroom with Jaden. A SWAT team burst in, strapped her to a gurney, and took her away. The conservatorship's contradiction was immediate, deemed too incapable for basic tasks, yet weeks later, filming and touring globally. Her father's chilling declaration, "I'm Britney Spears now." For 13 years, her life became a prison. Security swept houses for contraband. Potential dates required background checks, blood tests, and NDAs, her intimate history shared before first meetings. She traded freedom for time with her sons, paying Kevin's legal bills so they could join her circus tour. The tour grossed $130 million, enriching her father and others, while she received $2,000 weekly. On June 23, 2021, she addressed the Los Angeles Probate Court, her voice reaching millions. Despite terror, she spoke her truth. "I've lied and told the world I'm okay and happy. It's a lie. I'm not happy. I can't sleep. I'm angry and depressed." With attorney Matthew Rosengard's help, her father was suspended in September. Then the conservatorship terminated in November 2021. Recording Hold Me Closer with Elton John marked her return to music on her terms, reaching number one in 40 countries. After 13 years of restrictions, she's experiencing the richness of adult womanhood. She loves photographing herself, naked or in new dresses, because after years of being posed by others, controlling her own image brings genuine pleasure. She's rebuilding trust, finding joy in her sons, friends, pets, and beautiful places. She cherishes the gay community's unconditional love. Freedom means being beautifully imperfect while searching for joy on her terms. Her story transcends surviving fame. It's about every person's fundamental right to exist as themselves, make mistakes, and chart their own path. In a world that still tries to define women by others' expectations, her message resonates. The most radical act is simply being free.